Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The red color means brotherhood, the white means purity, the crescent means a young nation in ascendancy, and the five stars refer to democracy, peace, progress, justice, and equality. That's the Singapore flag, and that's the red and white that some of us are wearing today. Our color, the color of our nation, red and white, what they mean. We thank God for our leaders, and the Bible instructed us to pray for them. And we thank God for this nation, a nation that allow us to worship God in peace and in prosperity. For these are precious times and moments that we must never take for granted, but to take advantage of them, to use them to help us become better Christians, to study the Word of God, to pray together, to mutually encourage one another in the things of the Lord by fellowship. And then on top of all these, in times of prosperity, use the material possessions that God has entrusted to us to do His work, to build up and strengthen the lives of fellow Christians, to extend God's kingdom beyond the shores of Singapore. This is why we are left here in this land of Singapore. When you and I do not look at our lives in the spiritual realm, and we look at our lives in the material realm, no nation is perfect. There will be a lot of murmurings and complaints. If you want a nation that is perfect, wait for the millennium to come. And then we will have a perfect leader with a perfect environment and with a perfect rule. And even in that kind of environment, because we are not perfect, because the people, the citizens in the land of Christ, in the millennium where His kingdom will be this entire earth. Because man is not perfect. Even with a perfect leader, there will still be death. There will still be sin. There will still be transgression. When you and I look at our country as Christians, how do you look at our country? Do you look at it with the eyes of the world as unbelievers? See only the material realm? And if we see the material realm, there will be a lot to complain. You go to any country, you're going to find shortcomings upon shortcomings as well as the pros. There will always be the cons. No country is without the negative. And if you harp on the negative, please bear in mind that as Christians, when you and I kept on complaining, remember it is a transgression. Because we are not the people of the world. We do not look at the material realm. We look at the spiritual realm, the spiritual responsibilities that God has entrusted to us in any country that God has called you to serve Him and to be His witness in. If God calls you to migrate to another country, by all means, go. But remain the same. Be a godly witness and testimony. If God sends you to the most dangerous country on earth, you go there and you also remain the best and most godly witness that God has called you to be. It doesn't matter which country, which nation that we are in, because the topic is our leaders, God's ministers. This is not only applicable to Singapore, but to all nations throughout all the ages without end. No difference whether you live in the 21st century or you live in the 10th century BC or you live in Germany where Hitler rules. This still applies. This is God's truth. God makes no mistakes. God tells us why all the leaders of every nation, they are His ministers. That means His servants. The ministers there, the word minister literally comes from the word where we get the English word deacon, where the emphasis is on their service. They are here appointed by God to serve God. They may not know it. They definitely do not acknowledge Him. We know that. But that's not the point here. The point for us Christians is verse 1 and verse 2, God tells us that there is no true leader power on earth except His. That's what God says. Let every soul, that is every Christian, be subject unto the higher powers. And so not only our government, even though the context here is with reference to governmental nation leaders, but it includes all higher powers that control the lives of all believers. In the home, it will be the man, the head of the house. In your office, in your school, there will be the higher powers. They are all, the Bible says, appointed by God. And we are therefore, as Christians, to be subject unto them. That means we have to willingly, on our own, submit to them. Whether they are right or wrong, you submit to them. Now, we will explain more regarding that. Whatever it is, you submit to them. They may be the worst leader the world could ever have, but if that is where God has placed you in that country, in that time, you are to submit to them, for there is no power but of God. Plain and simple. There is no power but of God. In other words, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is crucial in the lives of every believer when it comes to our existence on this earth as God's witness. You are here for one purpose. Remember this. You're here to tell the world about Christ. You're not here to make money. You're not here to enjoy life. You're not here to do whatever you want. You and I are placed here on earth for one purpose and one purpose only. And this purpose is the highest purpose that God could ever give to any of His creatures. He did not entrust this to angels. He did not entrust this to any other creature except to His children, human beings whom God has saved with the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, you go out there and be My witnesses and tell the world that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that can save you from your sin and from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, eternal fire and damnation. Jesus Christ must be seen by the way that you and I live. Wherever we are, whether in our homes or in school or in our workplace and in our country, this is why we are left behind after salvation, since we are already fit for heaven. God puts us here for this divine, sovereign, highest purpose. Don't change it. To change it is a sin, because to replace this highest purpose that God could ever give to us, imagine, to bear the image of the second person of the Godhead, God Himself. That's who Jesus Christ is. And God has given us this honor everywhere we go to be His witness, to do our best, to tell people, look at My life. You can see Christ. You can see the second person of the Godhead who can save you from your sin by looking at My life. And you share the gospel together with a holy witness. That's the potency of our witness for Christ to sinners. And that's why God wants us to realize that there is no power but of God. Please understand this. Anyone who rule over God's children. Now remember, you are God's child the moment you are born again. God has entrusted you to these human beings that God has placed over you. Whether it is your father, your mother, whoever, your teacher, your boss, your leaders in the country, God placed them there to shape you, to mold you, to train you, to become better witnesses. And when we murmur and complain, we are terrible witnesses. You are not murmuring and complaining against them. Please understand that you are basically actually murmuring and complaining against God, because they are not the real powers. God is the one who puts them there. There is no real power on earth outside of God Almighty, who is our Heavenly Father. Now, if you murmur and complain, you're basically saying that your Heavenly Father made a big blunder, a big mistake in your life. How can he ever make a mistake? He makes no mistake. The powers that be are ordained of God. You see that? God put them there. They do not acknowledge it. Does not matter. Just because you do not acknowledge it does not mean that it is not true. The fact of the matter is not for them to know. It's for you and I as God's children to know. Please realize and understand. We are not saying that you cannot join the opposing party election time. We are not saying that. We are saying that whoever gets elected and be the leader of our country, this applies. You can become the leader yourself. You can participate in any election and you can go and compete. And if you become the prime minister, you become the leader, you are not the one who got yourself in, even though it may appear as if it is democracy. That is the one star that I have problem with as a Christian. Because that is not real power in man. Demos means people, kratos power. Democracy means people power. That's why they go by election. People power. Now we live in countries of the countries where they think that democracy is going to be the norm. And any country that is not ruled by the people, superpowers will be upset with you. They will want you to go the way of the people. Whatever the people want, you just give it to them. That's basically what democracy is. But for us, democracy may be what the world, our country, used to appoint the leaders, but in reality, it is God who has done it. God allowed democracy in this country to put up the leaders that God Himself has determined, has decided. And that's what verse 1 tells us very clearly. All ordained by God, regardless, good or bad, they are put there by God. Now, let's say you are born in the time of Hitler, and you are born a German and you are born a Christian in Germany. And then you face all these horrible, horrible laws that Hitler has passed. So what do you do as a Christian? You just continue to hold on to your godly witness. But if I have to go to the gas chamber, then you go to the gas chamber and be killed. But you continue to hold on to your godly witness. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that you do wrong. What it means is that when the government wants you to do something that is against the teaching of God's word, they always give you two choices. Always. You look at the three friends of Daniel in the time of the Babylonian Empire. In Daniel chapter 3, they were forced to bow down to the statue. That was the law. But the law also gave them an alternative. If you do not bow down, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. So they could obey to bow down, or they can also decide to obey and be thrown into the fiery furnace, right? But obey, both are the options. Both are the law of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. One, you bow down, your life is spared. But you compromise, you sin against God. The second aspect of the same law, if you don't bow down, you don't sin against God, but you be thrown into the fiery furnace. Same for Daniel, at the end of the Babylonian Empire. You do not pray, your life is spared. But you sin against God. It was his custom to pray three times every day. But if you pray, you'll be thrown to the lion's den. Second option. Both are given by the king. That's the law. And so the three friends of Daniel, they chose alternative number two. We will not bow down. We choose not to sin against God. All right? Throw us into the fiery furnace. All right? Throw us then. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. In the case of Daniel, it was the same. He did not want to sin against God. So therefore, the option from the king was, all right, be thrown into the lion's den. All right, throw me into the lion's den then. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that we compromise the truth. Because the law of man, they always come with two options. If you obey man, and it causes me to sin against God, then I will not obey. But if you do not obey man, then there will be the penalty. Then we go by the other way, the way of penalty then. But still we obey. without disobeying God. We still obey the leaders. This is what it means. God is the one who is in control of my life. Please understand this. God is the one who controls which year you are born, in which country. You have no say. You realize that? God is the one who decides what's the color of your skin, what nationality you're going to be in. God is the one who decides what race. God decides every minute detail of your life. From the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb, you can't fight Martin Luther's battle, you are not born. Martin Luther can't fight our battle because he's already gone. Each and every child of God is in this world from the moment he begins to exist by the sovereign hand of God. There are no accidents in your life and in my life from the moment you begin to exist. The difference is, before you were born again, you did not know that God was guiding and controlling every moment of your life. After salvation, now you are consciously aware that God has been guiding you, shaping you, molding you. When you look back from the very beginning of your life, now you begin to see the hand of God. Before that, you did not know. Just because you and I did not know doesn't mean that God was not working and molding and shaping you until the day you are called into salvation, grace and mercy. And then after that, now you are consciously aware, and that's what God wants us to be. When you are consciously aware of your life and the presence of God in your life, your witness for God will become very, very powerful. That's what God wants. God wants us to understand the sovereignty of God, the power of God in controlling your life and in my life. And you cannot see the hand of God and His power when your mind is continued to be carnal. When you continue to pursue after the accolades of the world and the material realm, you will murmur and complain to no end. Guarantee. And you and I know from experience, that has been your experience and my experience, when we lose our focus of the spiritual realm and purpose for our existence, we complain to no end. But when we look at our lives from the spiritual perspective, that my Heavenly Father is always in control, always, even in times of persecution, even in times of death, my Heavenly Father is in control of how long I am on this earth. Because I'm always in His presence, and He is always in my presence. And I must remember this. Remember what Spurgeon said, we shared with you before from this pulpit? All mankind are eternal. The difference is eternal in hell or eternity in heaven. And as children of God, our eternity is going to be in heaven with God forever. And therefore, you and I must know, the less time you spend on earth, the more time you spend in heaven in the presence of God. The more time God wants you to spend on earth, the less time you spend in heaven, but always in the presence of God. And that's how you must look at your life. You do not look at death with fear. Death is just graduation. Your time on earth is done. Now you continue your eternity in heaven. That's how we look at that. That's why God calls it sleep. Because one day all believers who die before the second coming of Christ, they will be resurrected. They will be given the glorified body. And that's why they are called sleeping. And if we who are alive in this mortal body, when Jesus Christ returns, then we will all be raptured and caught up. We will be spared the experience of death. But either way, always in the presence of God, and therefore be pleasing to Him. Realize and understand that God has placed you in the 21st century in this very momentous time for a purpose. And that purpose is spiritual. Not material, not carnal. So do not be motivated by promotion and by more money and by bigger houses. All these are foolishness to the Christians. Because it will result in you damaging your witness for Christ. And that you cannot let it happen. Because these people who are sinners and they see a distorted Christ by your testimony, it will impact them in the most negative way and they may hate Christ for the rest of their lives. And you and I know what that means. If they hate Christ for the rest of their lives, you have just sealed their eternity in hell. You realize that? when you and I bear a terrible witness for Christ, calling ourselves Christians and are motivated by materialism and the things of the world. And these people are probably not strangers, because strangers do not hang out with you and they don't bother about you. These people that you're going to sentence to eternity in hell could very well be your family members and your friends who see your life most. Please, remember why you are here. And so God placed us here in this country, and if God calls you to migrate, by all means migrate, go anywhere God has called you, but always remember that whichever country that you are in, God, your Heavenly Father, are the ones who appointed them. And therefore, God warns us, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. That's what it means. So when you resist the ordinance of God. Now please note, you see the word resist appears three times in verse 2. The first one is a different word compared to the second and the third. The first, resist, literally it means anti-ordain. It's the word ordain, but the word anti is placed to, just like Christ, anti-Christ, against the ordination. So the one, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, literally it means whosoever is anti-ordained, anti-ordination of God. That's what it means. And then you stand against. The word resist in the second and third usage, stand against. And therefore you stand against it. So therefore God charged us with a person who is in denial, rejection of ordination of God. That God is the one who ordained. That the word ordained there in verse 1. Ordain of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore anti-ordain. That's what it means. So if you want to go against that power, you're actually going against God. You are basically rejecting and openly repudiating God's ordination, the power of God in your life. And so God warns us of this. Because when you do that, when you resist the ordinance of God, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You're going to be punished. So please understand that just because you are God's children placed here on earth, and then you want to resist them and stand against them by disobeying the law of the land. That's what it means. By breaking the law of the land, you will face punishment. But you cannot say, well, I am a child of God. So you are a child of God and you break the law of man whom God has ordained. You mean God is not going to, supposed to what, protect you and deliver you? You pay the price. You break the law of the country. You pay the price. Please remember this. Just because you are a child of God does not exempt you from obeying the law of man whom God himself, your Heavenly Father, has appointed over your life. That's what it means. Only one true power, and that is God. So whoever God appoints as the leader in the country that God has placed you in, whether it is by democracy or by dictatorship, it does not matter how. No matter how bad the person is, does not matter. Remember that God makes no mistake. If God puts you in this country in Africa, and with this kind of leaders, you submit to all the laws of the land passed on by this leader. So long as you do not break the law. Please understand, remember the law is always twofold. Obey, reward. Disobey, penalty. And when it causes us to obey the law of man and we disobey the law of God, we choose the alternative. We face the penalty. And that's why Paul was in prison. They told him, don't preach the gospel. You preach the gospel, you go to prison. So what should he do? I preach the gospel, I go to prison. But with regard to all the other laws that pertain to your witness and your conduct, don't break the law, please. Don't ever, ever break the law, because you will jeopardize your testimony and your witness for Christ. That is the ultimate. That is what you must care for the most. Your witness for Christ, that is paramount. Please remember this. That has the eternal impact in the souls of sinners. They need to see Christ. And when they see you, unyielding, always holy and righteous, regardless of the threats or the consequence, you hold on to that and you don't ever compromise. What's the worst they can do to us? The worst they can do to us is what? Take your life, take your freedom, so be it. And the worst they can do to us is to take our children's life, whom we love more than our own lives. Then so be it as well. Because you can never, you must never love anyone on this earth more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even your own children. Please remember this. You must never. Because your child, when they see you love them more than Christ, you have just sentenced them to hell. You must love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That is what God demands of us. And when you can do this, love your neighbor as yourself in terms of God's truth. And God says, if you can keep these two commandments, you have kept all the laws and the prophets. That's how important this is. Second argument, why our leaders are God's ministers. Verse 3 and verse 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So don't do anything evil. Don't break the law. Always obey the law, regardless of how you may like it or not like it. It does not matter. Obey the law, please. Will thou then be not afraid of the power? They will punish you if they catch you. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. They will call you good witness, good testimony, good Christian, because you always obey the law without disobeying God's truth. Bear that in mind. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. So here God made it very clear. They are placed here to serve God, to do God's will, whatever it is. Whatever it is, even in the death of 6 million Jews by Hitler, Hitler was placed there to do the will of God. Please understand this. Because after that, the nation of Israel was reborn. The world hated Israel. The world will always hate Israel because the world is owned by Satan. And Israel is the only nation on earth that God designed from ground up. No other nation on earth is designed by God except the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was Israel. No other nation except Israel. That's why the world hates Israel. Do you know that Israel lost her sovereignty from the time of the Babylonian exile in 586 BC? And Israel had always under the rule of another nation until 1948. You think the world will just simply give the land of promise back to Israel? If not for the catastrophe, if not for the horrible, horrible gassing of 6 million Jews by Hitler, somehow God used all these events for his own glory. Hitler will be punished for what he has done. No doubt about that. But at the end of it, that's why the Bible says even the wrath of man will praise God. That's how great and how glorious our God is. Even in times like this where we can see only darkness, God tells us as his children, the nation of Israel must become a nation again. That's why 1948 is not an accident. Because God tells us that before the second coming of Christ, the Antichrist will make peace with Israel. How can that happen if there is no Israel? And how can Israel be reborn after so many thousands of years, 586 BC all the way right up to 1948, 2,000 over years. Israel never existed as a sovereign nation until 1948. God prophesied in the last days, the Antichrist will make peace with Israel for 7 years, and in the middle of it, he will break the peace treaty. Now that cannot take place if there is no Israel. Please understand how powerful our Heavenly Father is. Do not lose sight of this spiritual impact and significance in your life by only thinking of carnal material things, carnal material promotions, possessions. These are the deadly things that you and I must steer clear of when God tells us those who walk the straight and narrow path are the ones who will seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness and trust God to take care of their material well-being. You don't flip it around. and seek after material things and then just simply trust God in your spiritual and your righteousness, that will end very badly for us as His witnesses. God makes no mistakes. They are God's ministers to thee for good, for our good. Please understand, for our good, always, always for our good. Remember Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, including placing us under this kind of leaders, whoever, whatever they are. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Especially for believers, don't do anything evil. Don't do anything sinful, please. Don't do anything that is illegal, unethical, immoral. We are children of God. We are kings. We are princes. We are prophets. We are priests. Conduct ourselves as such in this sin-sick world. And do so on this national day of our country as Singaporeans. To remember God, even as you remember our leaders. They are placed there by God's appointment. You think our first Prime Minister, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, just came into power by chance? God caused the split. God caused Singapore to come out. If Singapore had been part of Malaya, you just imagine what it would be like. And God has big plans for Singapore in the spiritual realm. And so Singapore had to come out. And God raised up a man like Mr. Lee Kuan Yew to bring Singapore from her infancy to what it is today by His grace and His mercy. One leader after another. This is the hand of our Heavenly Father who caused us to be born in this part of the world, in this time, for a time such as this, to do the will and the work of God with our strong currency, with the peace that God has blessed us with, where we can worship in such openness without the fear of being arrested as some countries continue to experience today. We are able to preach and teach the Word of God. We can openly attend Bible studies, attend Bible college classes, openly, freely. These are all not by accident or by chance, but by the sovereign hand of our Heavenly Father to build us up in the most holy faith. To what purpose? That we can be more effective Christians. That we can be used by God for the training of other children of God from many distant lands, especially in third world countries, in Africa, many parts. As far as Tanzania, Ethiopia, do you know that your support of FEBC has touched the hearts and lives of many people that you are not even aware of? Because there have been graduates from Ethiopia, Tanzania, you name it, in many parts of Africa, especially East Africa. And they, in turn, who have been trained by the teachings they receive in FEBC through your financial support and your prayers. And they return back home. And then they started churches and they continue to minister the Word of God to touch many, many lives in their own way. You do not know. But this is what God has encouraged and allowed us to do. In Singapore, imagine, tiny little red dot. Countries that are thousands of times bigger than us. They fly all over the world, from mainland China, from Africa, and some even from America. They will come and then they study and then they go back. And then from there, they started to preach and to teach what they have learned from God's truth. We are here not by chance. You think you and I speak English, that's an accident? You look at the history of the world, no accident. You look at how God used Babylon to punish Israel. And then God used the Persians to return Israel. And then God used the Greeks to continue to control Israel after the Persians were defeated. And that's why the New Testament was written in Greek, because of Alexander the Great. And then after God replaced the Greeks with the Romans popularized crucifixion. And that's why the Romans were in power when Christ's first coming occurred, so that Christ will die by crucifixion as God has prophesied. You think all these are accidents? The sequence of the superpowers are all controlled by God. God prophesied that to Nebuchadnezzar even before any of these countries were superpowers. They were just nobodies when the prophecies were given to Daniel. And then later on, God allowed Britain to dominate the world, whereby Britain was so huge in its empire that there was a saying when they were at the height of their power in the 19th century into the early 20th century until after Second World War, and then their power began to decline. The sun never set on the British Empire. That's true, isn't it? Because the British Empire reached out its tentacles to as far as this part of the world. And that's why we are speaking English. And you think that's also by chance, by accident? Because in order for us to know and study God's word in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language, we have to study it through the English language. Because all the tools that help us understand these languages are all written in English. The lexicons that we use to help us understand Hebrew and Greek, they're all in English. If you do not know English, it's very hard for you to learn the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language. You think all these are accidental? No. English will be the language of the world. And in order for the Antichrist to rise to power, he needs one language. Exactly like in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. Because of one language, Nimrod nearly succeeded in the first ecumenical movement until God confounded the language. And in order for the Antichrist to rule this world, he needs the world that speaks one language. Because if I can't speak your language, whatever law, whatever decree you pass, I don't know what you're talking about. How am I going to obey you? I don't understand what you are saying. One language. It will be English. You think all these are by chance? Your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father has always been in control of every leader of every country, every nation without end. Please understand this. Every leader in America, in China, in Russia, in any of these present-day superpowers, just as in the past, God controlled which Caesars will rise to power in the Roman Empire, just as he controlled the Babylonian, the Persian, the Grecian, and all the superpowers throughout the ages. Our Heavenly Father is in control of this tiny red dot. And God called them, and God wants us to know that they are his ministers. They are his servants, in other words. They are here to do his will over your life and in my life. And therefore, God says, children of God, always do what is good. Never do anything that is evil to break the law. Please, don't ever, ever break the law. Please, obey the laws of God. So first reason, only one true power, and that is God. Second reason, all these human leaders, they serve God. Second reason, they are our leaders because of our conscience sake. God wants his children to go one step further, because there may be some of us who might think, what if I break the law and I don't get caught? So if I don't get caught, then there will be no penalty. So I will. Then the sword that they wield over my head will be in vain. It is only not in vain if I get caught. So what if I don't get caught? Would that be okay? So God tells us in verse 5, no, that's not okay. There is a higher reason for Christians to obey our leaders, to accept our leaders. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, that is not only when you are punished for it, but also for conscience sake. Now you can't run away from your conscience. You break the law, you will be convicted by your own conscience that you have broken, you have stolen, you have done something that is wrong. You know that. As a child of God, if you're not a Christian, then you probably don't bother anyway. But if you're a Christian, God tells us for our conscience sake, not just for fear sake when we are caught by the police or by the law, but for our own conscience sake, you know what is right, and so you must do what is right, and so God will highlight certain things that you and I like to complain a lot about. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute. Tribute here would be your tax. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing, your tax. What kind of tax? Render therefore to all their dues. All right, what are all the dues? Tribute to whom tribute is due. Now here, tribute there will be people tax and property tax. All right, so you live in your property in this country, you pay tax. Whatever the percentage, whatever the tax, you just pay. Okay, just pay. Doesn't matter. Just pay, no matter what the percentage. So property tax, people tax, or income tax. You just pay. I know some countries, the income tax are very high. Now you live in that country, so you pay the tax there. Wherever God calls you, don't worry about all these tax. God will provide. Don't murmur and complain. Don't murmur and complain. Some who live in another country and they work in Singapore, they pay tax in Singapore, and then when they go back home to their country, they pay tax in their country as well, minus what you already paid in Singapore. So not happy. You happy? It may come to the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars. Does not matter. Whatever the law says, you just pay happily. Don't bother, because your focus is eternal and spiritual, not carnal. See, that's the reason. If you focus on a carnal, wow, they tax me here 20,000, they go back home, they tax me another 100,000, 120,000. Wow, you know how much I could have made from 120,000, but you may have a million. So 120,000, half a million, so minus that, wow, I've reduced it to only 380,000, you know. Wow, what is 120,000? You see, you keep on focusing on this, you're sure to murmur and complain. Guarantee. You think spiritual, you don't care about 120,000 or 1 million or 12 million. Doesn't matter. It's spiritual. I'm here to do the work and the will of God. And if I'm murmuring and complaining, I transgress. Keep your mouth shut. Don't earn. You don't pay tax. That's the best. Right? Don't earn. But you don't earn, you got nothing. You know that, right? You see? So if you earn, you pay tax, it's okay. Just pay. Remember, Jesus also paid. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. Render to God what is God's. Jesus told the disciple, we have to pay tax, all right? You go to the lake, go to the Sea of Galilee, you can catch a fish, you open the mouth, there'll be a gold coin enough to cover all our taxes. Okay? So Jesus also paid tax. Now, of course, you don't go to the fish and then try to catch a fish and get a gold coin. You're not going to get that, all right? But that is just to teach us, okay? Jesus also paid tax. All right? So you and I must pay tax. If you have to pay tax, you pay tax. You live in this kind of property, and the property tax is so much, you just pay. If you're not happy, then don't stay in this kind of property. Stay in a smaller property. Whatever it is, don't worry about the material realm. Trust God. God will provide for all your needs. Don't live beyond your means. And don't tempt God and test God. But living beyond your means. Live within the means that God has provided you with. And then just keep on focusing on the spiritual realm, not the material. That way, you will be a very, very happy and a murmurless Christian. Custom to whom custom? You must custom. Custom here would be levy on goods and travel. Goods and travel. Well, that means ERP, GST all included, you know, huh? Right? Goods here would be GST, right? Travel means ERP. And your car tax, your road tax, your ERP tax. You don't want ERP, don't drive. Very simple. You don't want to pay road tax for your car, then don't drive. You drive, you pay. Happy. Every time you pass ERP, beep, beep, what do? Praise the Lord. Beep, beep. You pay. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You're not happy, then don't drive. Right? Beep, beep, okay, beep, beep, titi, titi. Every time, titi, or every morning, what, titi three times. So titi three times, thank God it's not four. You see, you still can thank God. Only three. Right? You still can thank God. It's okay, so don't focus on all these things. That's what the Bible says. Don't try to do anything funny and try to cheat. Please remember, this instruction given to us by the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Who was in power? Caesar. The Roman Empire. And you think the Roman Empire is a very good empire where the kings are all very godly and holy? They were evil, they were wicked, they were rascals. You look at the background of the lives of all these Caesars in the time of the Roman Empire. You can see this in what? Discovery Channel. You look at their lives one after another. It got from bad to worse. Some of them were even crazy. But they have power, absolute power as kings. And you think God is not the one in charge of all these crazy kings, including Nero, who burned Rome and blamed it on the Christians. And after that, the persecution on the Christians intensified tenfold. You think God did not know that when this law was given to the people in Rome, it was the Roman Caesar who was in control, where it was very, very unjust. A Roman soldier can at any time conscript you and do whatever he wanted. Doesn't matter how busy you are, doesn't matter how urgent your own business is. If you don't do what he says, he can kill you right there and then, and he will be right. But the limit is, he can only command you to drop whatever you are doing, even if you cry and beg him, because my husband is very sick at home and he is about to die. He doesn't care. You can say, my wife is about to give birth and I have to go home. He doesn't care. He says, I want you to go to this town and I want you to go there and buy me a cup of water. You have to go, as long as it is within 1 mile. If you don't, he can just simply kill you. And he is right, simply because you disobey him. Now that is the law of Rome, one of them. Very, very unjust. And yet God says, you submit. Whatever the Roman country, Roman Caesar says, you give, you give. If they want to tax your four-wheel car, you give. If they want to tax your three-wheel car, two-wheel car, you just give. Whatever it is, you trust God. Your focus is on God's kingdom and his righteousness, and leave all these day-to-day material realm to God. He will provide for you. If he wants you to have a car, he will give you enough for your COE and for everything that you need for your ministry. Always for the ministry's sake. Remember this. Always for your testimony's sake. Don't forget this primary, soul, God-honoring purpose. We are here for the promotion of Christ. Not self, not money, not materialism. Always Christ. And that's why whatever it is, you just give. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear. Be afraid of the law that will punish us. Honor to whom honor. Just give to our leaders the honor and the respect. God is the one who placed them there. God is the one who puts them there. And my Heavenly Father makes no mistakes. And if this is how he wants me to be trained, to be built up, to become a better Christian with this kind of higher powers over my life, my teachers, my principal, my boss, whoever they are, God will use them to shape me and to mold me to become a better Christian, I will submit. And if I resist, I am anti-ordination, that God did not ordain them. And therefore, I will stand against them. But remember that you stand against God, not them. And be prepared for the punishment. We are God's people with the highest purpose on this earth. So for conscience sake, before God, your conscience is always before God. Always do what is right. Always do what is legal. Always do what is good. Do not do what is evil. So when you tear your coupons, how do you tear? 33 minutes. So do you tear 30 or do you tear 35? So some of us will hang around until 35, then we tear 35. Okay, you hang around your car until 35, you tear 35. You want to tear 30 and then you walk off, tear 30. Your conscience, that's why my conscience. You probably won't get caught, right? You tear that one, the person, unless the person just walk by and then check your car. What, 32, 35, wow. Gana, $6 fine. Your conscience. You probably get away with it, but your conscience, always your conscience, must guide us. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. Whatever this country that God has called me to be in to serve him, I will do whatever the law of this country says. Now remember, the law is always twofold. You obey, but by obeying the law of man, I sin against God, I will not. Then the alternative, you don't obey, penalty, you go to jail, right? Then I go to jail then. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul chose. He went to jail. And in jail, he preached the word of God, he wrote those prison epistles, and God used those prison epistles in such a manner that only when he was in prison can he have all the fullness and the greatness of the impact. When he told the Christians, rejoice evermore. Where was he? He was languishing in a dark, damp, dirty, rat-infested prison. If he had been languishing in Hawaii, seated on the beach, sipping some cold lemonade, and then tell people, rejoice evermore. Of course I can rejoice, right in front of the beautiful sunset, sipping lemonade in freedom. Anybody can say rejoice evermore in that kind of condition. But when he wrote those epistles, rejoice evermore, he was in prison, cold, dark, damp, waiting to die. And he told the Christians, rejoice evermore. And the Christians also were facing persecution. And when the Apostle Paul, their spiritual father, said that to them, they really understood. Yes, I also must rejoice evermore in the face of the greatest persecution, because my spiritual father, he taught me not only by the right doctrine, but by his life as well. Why? Because our Heavenly Father is always in control of every moment and every minute of your life. Don't ever forget that. No virus, no bug, no ruler can ever rule God's children without God's permission. He's our Heavenly Father. You think he will entrust us to someone who will hurt us just for fun? Our Heavenly Father, please remember this. We are his children. He saved us, left us here on earth, and he puts higher powers over us. He will never hurt us, just as you and I, as parents, will never do anything deliberately to hurt our children, right? And we have limited power. We wish we have super, absolute, total power like God, where we can control everyone and everything. We can't. But we know that as parents, we want the best for our sons and our daughters. How much more our Heavenly Father? And he has absolute power over you, over me, over every moment. Trust him. So thank God for whichever nation that you come from. Obey the leaders. They are God's ministers. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise thee once again, O Lord, for this land, the land of Singapore that you have placed most of us in as Singaporeans. For we know that we are here not by chance, but by thy sovereign appointment and thy will. And that will of God, O Lord, for us is to be a holy and godly witness for Christ while we remain on this earth in this land of Singapore, where we have failed thee. Forgive us. Help us to always do that which is good, to do that which is according to Holy Scriptures, that our lives and our testimonies will shine brightly for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these last days. May thou continue to bless this country with godly leaders who will rule this land in justice and in equity, that the word of God and the cause of Christ may continue to expand, and that your people in this country may continue to worship thee in peace and take advantage of the peace and prosperity that you have blessed us with for the extension of God's kingdom and for the betterment of our spiritual life in Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.